Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly one-hour expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times in which we live, because the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
For today, we continue as we continue our study on the Antichrist and some of the titles the Bible uses in reference to him, as well as some of the people. So I was talking to you, I talked last time about Putin, and I talked about his power, how he took, basically he obtained the power in Russia in a way that nobody really understood. I told you that now, at the turn of the century of 2000, the year 2000, when he became acting prime minister after Boris Yeltsin stepped down, because, or rather acting president after Boris Yeltsin stepped down because he was the prime minister. Putin was very unpopular, and actually a poll carried out at the time showed that he only had 2% popularity. But something happened, something interesting happened. There was a story of the 6-3 Kashikoya building and all the things that happened there after that, because immediately after he became president, at the time when nobody thought of him as somebody who could win the presidency, he had just become president basically by Kavuyo, because the president who was there had resigned because of his poor health. He was having serious heart problems, Boris Yeltsin, at the time, and Putin had taken over. People were thinking, looking elsewhere for presidents, not at Vladimir Putin. But something interesting happened. There was a truck which came, and at the time Chechnya wanted to break away from Russia, and Boris Yeltsin's administration had been too weak to stop Chechnya from breaking away. So they kind of had a separatist movement which was gaining ground, and actually Chechnya was almost considered to be separate from Russia. But when Putin came and became president, there was a truck which went and basically rammed into a building which is called the 6-3 Kashikoya, which housed soldiers and their families, and it had explosives, and it the building within the city of Moscow exploded. And so many people were killed. Actually, 63 soldiers and families. 63 people were killed, including some soldiers, their wives, children. And it was the building was flattened, completely flattened. Only one boy and a dog were pulled out of the rubble. Now, something funny happened after that, because immediately Putin blamed it on the Chechnya separatists. And even while he was still blaming it for them, Russian planes were already bombing Chechnya, and they basically went full swing in attack against them. And suddenly, because of what had happened and because of how sad it had been to lose all those people through a bomb blast, the public opinion was pro Russia's invasion of Chechnya. Then another building was also flattened, and the official explanation again was it was Chechnya separatists who had flattened the building. But some journalists were questioning, how was this possible and what? So people started writing articles in the newspaper to the contrary, because the Russian media at the time actually was emboldened by the fall of communism, and so they had become a bit independent, and they were enjoying a new lease of independence of media, which had not been seen. But all the journalists who were investigating to find out if the official position of the bombings, if it was really Chechnya separatists who had done it, started disappearing and were killed mysteriously, one after the other, disappear, die. Those who did not die immediately gave up on the investigation and actually started fronting the official government position, which said that it was the Chechnya separatists that had done it. So now that's what happened at that time. Now then, immediately after, there was another bomb also in a building which also killed so many people, and the official government's position was the same, Chechnya separatists. Then all voices to the contrary were silenced, either through mysterious death or something like that. And so what happened thereafter was of extreme interest, because suddenly Vladimir Putin, who had been extremely unpopular, gained a surge of popularity, and actually people started considering that maybe he could be a good prime minister. Now it is the bombing of those buildings and the consequent response by Putin's government that made him gain popularity and win the election 3 months later by 53% majority. That's how Vladimir Putin came from somebody who nobody knew, who was unpopular and who had only gained the presidency for a short while, as a replacement of somebody who had resigned, to somebody who became popular because of those bombings and all the things that happened thereafter. So he won the election. Now, of course, he has continued to strengthen himself since that time, and now has become the world's most powerful man, according to the Forbes magazine, which is produced in America, which therefore should know what they're talking about, because it must be with a very strong resentment that they acknowledge that he's the most powerful man in the world. But there's something else here which I find interesting. There is a top Jewish rabbi, who is privy to a lot of information handed down by scholars, from rabbis, scholars, from way back, and who has a secret document, and he actually published a bit of it, and he said that according to rabbis and their studies of the old scriptures and everything. Now, this, of course, is still interpretation that is subject to your own interpretation, you understand? But I'm just presenting it to you as knowledge so that you can decide if it is worth a consideration. Now, according to this Russian rabbi, the information he got from old scholars of the Torah, as well as all the other documents, this is what he says. When you hear the Russians have captured the city of Crimea, you should know that the times of the Messiah have started, that his steps are being heard. And when you hear the Russians have reached the city of Constantinople, you should put on your Shabbat clothes and don't take them off, because it means that the Messiah is about to come any minute. I'll repeat that. When you hear the Russians have captured the city of Crimea, you should know that the times of the Messiah have started, that his steps are being heard. And when you hear the Russians have reached the city of Constantinople, you should put on your Shabbat clothes and don't take them off, because it means that the Messiah is about to come any minute. Now, Russia, you know, captured Crimea a few months ago, which was the beginning of the Ukrainian crisis. What was it, about five months ago? Maximum 6 months. I think probably 3 or 4 months ago, Russia captured Crimea. So if you are to believe this rabbi and all the study that they've done, then that means that the times of the Messiah have started. Now, what are they saying the Messiah is? Remember, the Jewish don't believe that Christ is the Messiah. So it means that the times of the Messiah whom they would accept, who would actually be the Antichrist. Okay? Because remember, the Antichrist comes in and makes himself a friend of the Jews, and they actually believe that he is the Messiah. How does he do that? The Bible says, Daniel 9:27, he will confirm a covenant with Israel and their neighbors for 7 years. And remember, since God confirmed the covenant, which covenant? The covenant which God gave to Abraham. Since God told Abraham that I will give you this land, all those 6,000 years, there has been a contest. Actually, more than 6,000. There has been a contest on that's about 6,000 actually. There has been a contest on whether the Jews deserve a homeland there, because they found people there, but God says, I've given it to you. So they had to capture it. First of all, Abraham took it, then they lost it because the Jews went into Egypt. Then when they came out of Egypt, they had to capture it from the Perizzites, the Hittites, the whatever tites, and they took it back. But it has always been contested. There's not a single time when people don't believe that they should uproot Israel from there. From the Philistines, they fought the Philistines all through, even until the time of the Roman Empire, when they were still contested. Now, of course, when the Jews were scattered after AD 70, after the fall of Jerusalem, and the Jews were scattered, the land fell in so many hands, including in the hands of the Ottoman Empire, which was an Islamic empire, which ruled for 400 years. From 1430 to 17, I'm forgetting the years kind of, but which ruled for 400 years. Now, that's when they built the Alaska Mosque and all those things. Now, the Jews come back when the UN creates a state for them in that place, but still it is always being contested. Now, the popular opinion by people who are not in the know, unfortunately, some of them are even Christians. If you're a Christian and you've caught on the hatred for the Jews, don't go that direction. That is what the devil wants the whole world to believe. If you are a Christian, even if you're a nominal Christian, don't fall for the hatred for the Jews, because you are being served with a half-baked dish. and you're believing what the world is telling you, and yet the world is telling you half the story. Now, people are saying Jews for continuous bombardment of Gaza, and of course nobody says how much, I mean, the Palestinians are actually bombing Israel, but they talk about when Israel retaliates. It's like somebody comes and slaps you and nobody notices, but the day you slap him back, then everybody is up in arms. Okay, that's precisely what's happening. But the point is, even if you don't understand the depth of it, just know that it is the devil's plan to turn the whole world against Israel. That's what Hitler tried to do, and that's why, and that the Jews have been through that all the time. They have survived so many attempts to annihilate them. From the days of Esther, the book of Esther shows when a man stood up called Haman, who just decided he does not want the Jews. And if Haman's plan had succeeded, all the Jewish race was going to be exterminated, because every single Jew lived within the empire of the king Artaxerxes, where Haman wanted them killed. And that was the devil. That failed. Of course, it failed so many other times. They have failed so many other times. Hitler tried it and failed. Now, of course, the whole world is being pushed towards this Jewish hatred. And some people, even Christians, are taking that. Even some born-again believers are falling for that. Now, listen to this. The Jews are special to God because they gave us Abraham, who is the father of faith. They are the children of Abraham, who is the father of faith. Okay? They are the children of Jacob. They were chosen by God. Now, if you hate the Jews, you are going against God's choice. Just know that. You are going against. Now, why does God choose them? He's God. Okay? He's God. He decides whom he chooses. But they gave us Abraham. They gave us the Bible. Every single book in the Bible was written by a Jew. There is not a single book that was written by a Gentile. Not one. Okay? They gave us the Messiah. Now, if you fall for the hatred for them because of CNN, then you're a fool. That's precisely what you are. You're a fool. Don't go and be a fool, because the Bible says that they will be cursed who hate the Jews. Why? Because it is through Abraham that we get the blessings that we don't deserve. Okay? The blessings of Abraham, Galatians 3:13-14, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us in Christ Jesus. Now, we have some born again people saying they want the blessings of Abraham, then they turn around and then they are hating Israel. It is not going to work for you. It does not work that way. Okay? If you hate Israel, don't expect the blessing of Abraham. It's just that simple, by the way, because what God put there, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you, is established. And God gave it after Abraham showed that he was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. He passed a big test. Now, you have to love the Jewish people. Somebody was telling me the way they are treating Africans. I mean, I don't love them because of the way they are treating Africans. I love them because God chose them, and I belong to God, and God's choices are my choices, period. I do not argue with God. He chose them. Even if I went to Israel today and they mistreated me, I would not stop loving the Jewish people, because God chose them. Of course, if they don't believe in Jesus Christ, they will also not go to heaven. Okay? They will also go to hell. They have to go to heaven the same way that we have to. There is no special treatment in that. But God chose them. Now, if don't fall for the worldly view, don't fall for the worldly view. If you want the blessing of Abraham, you've got to love the children of Abraham. I will leave that there. Now, what was I talking about? Let's get back into it. So we're talking about the Jews will believe the Antichrist to be the Christ. Okay? Now, this man is saying, when you see Russia take over the city of Crimea. Now, that's so interesting, because these words were written so long ago. So long ago. And it's only recently that Russia took over, Crimea. And you all know what happened. Annexed it, really. And he says, then the time of the Christ have come. Now, the Christ they are talking about really is the Antichrist, whom they will believe. He will come and confirm the covenant, I told you. Now, he's for the first time ever, the Jews will have a covenant confirmed that they have a right to exist in that area. But that covenant is going to be signed at the expense, as I've told you before, of some things they have to give up. Israel will have to give up some of its territory in order to have that covenant signed. First of all, there is going to have to be an a Palestinian state, and Israel will force the Palestinians to agree to a Jewish state called Israel. Right now, the Palestinians don't agree that there is a Jewish state, but they want a Palestinian state. And then Israel would have to give up the region which the Bible calls Judea and Samaria, which is called the West Bank. Israel will give it up to the new Palestinian state, and then they will. But for that, they will not have to negotiate Jerusalem. But because Jerusalem is where the devil really wants his ground, that's why the Muslims are willing to do everything to fight for Jerusalem, because their master, the devil, and make no mistake, their master is the devil. Wants, because God has declared that Jerusalem is his city and he's going to establish his name there. Now these people want to take it over and want to control the city of Jerusalem. And now, unfortunately, some Christians are also support. Jerusalem is the holiest city for Christianity and for Judaism. Okay? Jerusalem, it's the city where Jesus was crucified. It's the city where Jesus spent most of his time. A lot of his time he spent in the city of Jerusalem. It's where he was crucified. It's where the temple was, Solomon's temple, where Jesus went and spoke in Matthew 24 about the things that are going to happen there. It is all in the city of Jerusalem. Now, anybody who says that Jerusalem belongs to Arabs is a fool, because Jerusalem is as much of a city. I mean, it is the heartland of the Jews, the city of Jerusalem, the city of David, actually it is called. But you see, the Muslims want it. But imagine what would happen if the Christians said they wanted Mecca or Medina, which are the Islamic holy city. I mean, imagine what would happen. But you see, the Muslims want Jerusalem. If any Christian nation said they wanted Mecca, to have control over Mecca, every Muslim in the world would be ready to die. But when the Muslims say they want control over Jerusalem, the city in which our Lord was crucified, very many Christians are going for it. Why? Because they are listening to CNN and BBC and all that. I mean, people have no—they have no knowledge, they have no backbone, they have no sense of belonging. Okay, now they have taken up the Western world, which kind of pours scorn on Christianity, and then they are busy pouring scorn on Christianity, and their children are going to join ISIS. I mean, it serves them right, really. Because if they are told their children about the Christian God, they wouldn't go and start beheading people in Syria. Anyhow, I'll move on. So, the Antichrist will come. So, this man says, when Russia reaches the city of Constantinople, Constantinople is actually modern-day Istanbul, the capital of Turkey. Now, how is Russia going to reach Constantinople? I don't think there is going to be a war in which Russia takes over Constantinople or takes over Turkey like it did with Crimea. I believe it is going to come through an agreement, because right now the West is singling out itself as an enemy, both of Islam and of the Russians. So at some stage, the Russians might join with the Muslims, which makes a lot of sense if you read the Gog and Magog war and how it's going to happen. At some stage, the Muslims might join with Russia to fight the West. And which will be so unfortunate, because the West is bending over so much to accommodate Islam. But they don't know Islam will never accept the West. Never. It is not going to happen. So now what's going to happen is, this man says that when the Russians have reached the city of Constantinople, and they might reach there through an agreement with Turkey, not through conquest the way they did with Crimea, as I've told you, then this man says you should put on your Shabbat clothes, or Sabbath clothes really, and don't take them off, because it means that the Messiah is about to come any minute. Now, whether you take that seriously or not is another issue, but it shows that we are really, really on the precipice of the unveiling of the Antichrist. It is going to happen very soon. The Antichrist is going to be unveiled to us very soon, and we'll know him. And the agreement we are talking about, of 7-year agreement, which will make everybody know that he is the Antichrist, is around the corner. Right now, there is a bill in the Israeli Knesset, which is the Israeli parliament, to that effect, that they share the Temple Mount, that they keep control over Jerusalem, and they have to give up Judea and Samaria, or the West Bank, to a new Palestinian state whose capital will not be Jerusalem. It's Jerusalem, as the Palestinians want. There is that bill. It is going to be, and guess what, how many years they have suggested, because none of those people will agree on final terms. So they will say, in order to have temporary peace, since the Palestinians insist on Jerusalem and Israel insists on not giving up Jerusalem, what we'll do is, for peace to prevail in the short run, let them agree at an interim agreement. And the interim agreement, the period that has already been suggested in the Israeli Knesset, is actually 7 years. Now that's amazing, because the Bible says precisely that. So the Antichrist comes and confirms that deal, 7 years. And these people are saying, when that happens, Shabbat, keep on your Shabbat clothes, because enemy is now, the Antichrist is coming. When what? When you see a deal between Russia and Turkey. And I'm telling you, that is really, really close. Really close. We are not talking so many years here. We are talking a short while. So we might be very close. I'm telling you, brethren, we are closer than you ever know to the coming of the Lord. I mean, we really are close. Now, I'll move on and say some other things. Putin has a stronghold on... I mentioned last time how Russians banned the Jehovah's Witness. Because Putin wants it, almost everybody, to believe in the Orthodoxy. You know, the Russian Orthodox. And he has a stronghold on the religion, by the way, which is important for anybody who could be a possible Antichrist. Now, and something else that is of interest is when Vladimir Putin was annexing Crimea, they asked him why he's doing that. And guess what he said? He actually said that he's doing it to protect the Jews. Now, remember, the Antichrist comes in as a friend of the Jews and only turns against them later. But there are a few other things in there. But Russia is becoming a strong state. You remember how the West tried to fight Russia's hosting of the Olympics, of the Winter Olympics in Sochi. But it went off well. It was pulled off. And now Russia is going to host the World Cup in 2018. So they are basically stamping the authority as a very, very serious state. And now that is something worthy of a consideration. I told you that some of the titles that the Antichrist is mentioned by in the Old Testament, just so that you may know his character, what he is like in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well, because the titles refer to a person and his name. Now we are going to read a few scriptures here that will tell us a bit about the Antichrist, and then we'll go ahead to mention some other, the West and the West's claim to having an Antichrist. I've told you about the Islamic nation's claim. I've told you about Russia's claim to an Antichrist. And I've told you about what you don't know is who would be the Antichrist in case the Antichrist was to come from the West. Now that's, well, a subject that is of interest to quite a number of people. 10 horns are 10 kings. The Bible says the Antichrist shall be different from the others, from the other leaders. Different in so many ways. He will come to power over and consolidate over some kind of conglomeration, really, of 10 countries, of 10 kingdoms, the Bible says, which is really 10 countries. And those countries are beginning to look very, very serious, because you look at this so-called G8 plus 1, and they are getting very close to the G10. And you're thinking, maybe that's a platform, maybe that's where the Bible says that they are kings, okay? They are these kings over the G10 who do not yet have power. But they have agreed, the Bible says, to give their power to the Antichrist for a short while. You understand? Now, when the G8 becomes G10, possibly, and one person rises above it, you know the G8. Now, of course, there is a P5 plus 1, which includes Germany. Now, the G8 includes all the top nations. But, of course, the big nations are increasing with time, because eventually India has to be included and all those, because now they are the biggest economies. Brazil has to be included, because now they also have power. And maybe even at some stage, an Islamic country might be included, because they also have claims to power. Now, when they become a G10, then the Bible says that there will be 10 kings, which means 10 presidents who are presidents of the 10 countries. Now, what happens when there are 10 presidents? The Bible says they will give their authority to a man who will be the head of them, and they will surrender the authority to him to rule them for a very long, all the authority to him, and he will rule them, the Bible says, for 1 hour, which really is a symbol, is for a short time. They will give the authority to him for a short time, but the Bible refers to it for 1 hour. Okay. Now let's read some of the scriptures here which talk about the Antichrist, just so that we get into this in good and fine detail. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one, that is the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one, or the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, miracles, and lying wonders. Now remember, at the time, all people who are now talking science, there will be clear wonders and signs from the devil, which they will believe, because they have chosen not to believe the signs and wonders that are from God. Now that's the funny thing. When you see somebody who does not believe that God is capable of anything supernatural, and who believes that Christianity is purely a behavior modification religion, then eventually when the signs come from the devil, many of them will be tempted to believe it, because they have refused to believe that there are signs and wonders. God is a God of signs and wonders, okay? And every ministry, the church was founded in signs and wonders, and the church is going to be raptured in signs and wonders. But those who refuse to believe that would have unfold to a dead orthodoxy, which they call a religion. By orthodoxy, I don't mean the Greek Orthodox Church. I just mean religious system, really. Would end up believing the lies and the signs and wonders of the devil. Now it says, he who now restrains will restrain until he is taken out of the way. Now, so many people believe that it is the Holy Spirit, because even actually the translators of the King James Bible put a capital He, saying he who now restrains is the Holy Spirit who restrains the coming of the Antichrist and who will be taken out of the way with the rapture of the church. Now, that's a theory that is, well, I think bears a lot of credence, really, and I think that I tend to believe. Only the Antichrist is revealed twice. The first time is revealed when he signs a contract with Israel and its neighbors. That's when he will be revealed to people who know about Bible prophecy. But the second time, he will be revealed in a different way. He will be revealed in that he will have power. He will have control over the world. The first time, he will not have control over the world. He will just be an influential person. So the world is looking out for a leader who is going to take it out of the mess that it currently is in. Now the devil creates this mess. Now you can see there's plenty of mess, and then there's going to be a war, which is going to cause a third of the population of mankind to die. Now after that war, there will be such a clamor for peace. We cannot let this happen again. You remember how the United Nations was formed after the Second World War, when people said we cannot let nations just decide what they want, because Germany just decided they are going to go and take over Europe and rule Europe and kill all the Jews, and they just did what they could. So they said that now we have to have a way in which there's accountability, you know, for nations are accountable to the other. So they came up with the United Nations. Now when this war happens, and 2.3 billion, remember 62 million people were killed in the Second World War. No other war has caused more fatalities than that. But now imagine from 62 million, 2.3 billion people dying. Now that is going to cause such a clamor for peace across the world, and the world will look out for this leader. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea. I'm reading from Revelation 13, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now I told you that 10 horns are 10 countries, and I suspect that is beginning to look either it could be the so-called Western European Union, which the European Union generally has 27 countries, but there's the Western European Union, which is teetering on the brink of 10, okay, or it could be the G8 growing to G10 very soon, as they have to include countries that have now demonstrated that they have big economies. And it says 10 horns, and on his horns are 10 crowns. Now on the book of Daniel, it says on his head is a blasphemous name, and so he has blasphemy on his head. And now we look at some of these crowns, you will see some of these things that we are talking about. Remember, it says he has a crown, and on his crown it has blasphemous words. Remember, it says that. Okay, the coming of the lawless one, the coming of the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, miracles, and lying wonders. Okay. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and he will slaughter so many of the saints, by the way, during that period when he's in charge. Then the king shall do according to his will. Now I'm reading from Daniel chapter 11. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. He shall speak blasphemous words against the God of gods, and shall prosper until the wrath, that is God's wrath, until wrath has been accomplished. For what was determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. Now, the desire of women, so many people think that he shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. Now, so many people interpret that as he will be a homosexual. I'm not so sure that is exactly true, but that he shall not regard the desire of women. What does that mean? Now, of course, so many people trying to link people up, say, now, Vladimir Putin divorced his wife, who is the mother of his two girls, a while ago, and for so many years he has remained single. So some people have tried to link that to she shall not regard the desire of women. But then also, there are other people who are coming up, who people have linked to homosexuality, and have said that's what it means, that he shall not regard the desire of women. Nor shall he regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all. That is Daniel chapter 11, verse 36 to 37. Now, the Bible also calls him the worthless shepherd in the book of Jeremiah, I believe. Actually, Jeremiah, yes, but also Zechariah chapter 11. It says that, woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. A sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye. His, that's the Antichrist's arm, shall completely wither, and his right eye shall be totally blinded. Now, it talks about, these are just scriptures that are talking about the Antichrist, as I get into some other strong subject of a candidate, possible candidate from the West for the Antichrist. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 to 5, it says, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away. First, I told you a falling away means a falling away of Christianity and the creation of an apostate Christianity. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is a called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. For the mystery of lawlessness or the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, that the wicked one shall be revealed. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Now, this is very strong, because remember, if you are exposed to the truth for so long and you deliberately refuse to believe it, then the Bible says God, not the devil, God will send you a strong delusion. And when the lie comes, it will suddenly look more believable to you. And you believe a lie, and it will cause you to perish. Now, it's interesting that in talking about the Messiah, there is a man called Andrew Cohen who wrote a book called The Antichrist and a Cup of Tea. I've read much of this book, The Antichrist and a Cup of Tea, and this man comes up with biblical proof, as far as he's concerned, that Prince Charles of Wales is the Antichrist, and he's the person who is going to lead the West, and he's going to be the Antichrist. And he has quite a number of things that he points to the possibility of Prince Charles being the Antichrist. And I'll just rush through a few of them. But when we have the Watchman Conference, which some people have been asking me about, by the way, and if you want the Watchman Conference, I'm still praying about it, but it should be soon, and we shall arrange it. And you know, we need a lot of partners to come and help us in quite a number of things for these things to happen. And don't be a silent partner if you can. But by silent partner, I don't just mean money. I also mean so many things, because there are a lot of things here which I want to show in graphics. I want to produce the book of Revelation, and which I've been going through right here on radio, but illustrated, DVDs illustrated, so that you can see actual things. Some of the things that we've been showing you, the man riding the green horse of the in the book of Revelation, the red horse, and so many other things, even the DVDs of the false prophet, and why I believe in, because I have so many pictures stored up in my laptop, and which if I showed you, they would astound you, and I will show them to you, of course, at the Watchman Conference. But I want to produce these things so that we send this message as far as we can, because even now what I'm talking to you right now cannot be fully be produced through words on radio, on air. You need pictures, You need illustrations, things to show you. Now, this man says, Tim Cohen, he's called, says that the Antichrist surely is Prince Charles of Wales. Why does he say so? Well, a number of reasons. Now, he says the strong delusion and the lie which Satan will have the world under. What is that strong delusion? Would it be UFOs, which is unidentified flying objects? Would it be the Atlantis, alternative creation theories, of course, which would it be other gods? All of those things would have a place in the future deception. But according to this guy, specifically, the deception will be about the origin of the man who comes up to be the Antichrist, about his origin. And he says that the British, actually, he doesn't just say it is true that Queen Victoria gave money to people to go and prove that she comes from the bloodline of David. And they actually went and dug up and came with proof. I don't know how, reliable it is that Queen Victoria descends from the line of David. Remember, for the people to believe that, for the Jews to believe that the Antichrist is the Christ, he has to prove that he came from the line of David, because they know that the Christ has to come through the lineage of David. So they have to prove that. Now, Queen Victoria did that, okay? And those documents were preserved in some of the British libraries and are kept there, in which they say that the British royals and their secret society propagandists are infamous for claiming that the English and the Scotch royal are descendants of Ephraim, of the tribe of Ephraim, or the so-called 10 tribes of Israel, and holding in their possession specific genealogical charts and folk histories to prove that they actually descended from the line of David. Now, if that was true for Queen Victoria, then it is certainly true for Prince Charles, because, of course, he's a direct descendant of Queen Victoria. Now, they have tried to prove that they come. Now, so many people believe the Antichrist will come from the tribe of Dan, because the tribe of Dan is not mentioned in Revelation of all the tribes of Israel, apparently because they will have gone with their tribesmen, the tribe of Dan, but also because it talks about the serpent when Jacob was prophesying about all his children. He talks about the serpent and the tribe of Dan. So many people believe the Antichrist will come from the tribe of Dan. But the British royals are so obsessed with being part of Israel that they actually believe that when they were crowning Queen Elizabeth, who is the current queen, they said that here is the queen of thy people Israel. So they believe that the lost tribes of Israel are actually in Britain, okay? And Queen Elizabeth is the queen of the lost tribe of Israel. And this thing has been passed on through generations. Now, if that is true, and if it is true that Queen Elizabeth actually tried to prove and tried and succeeded, truthfully or not, in proving that she descends from the lineage of King David, okay? Then, actually, she proved she descends from the lineage of King David and Muhammad mixed. I don't know how they get that. But if that is true, then Prince Charles comes from the lineage of David. But that's just one of the things that this guy talks about. You go and look for it, Antichrist and a Cup of Tea. The book is called The Antichrist and a Cup of Tea. An interesting subject, headline, because what he's trying to imply is that we are seated there and the Antichrist is in the midst of us, well, having a cup of tea. And of course, he also talks about a cup of tea, because tea is, the British and tea. Actually, they are the ones who spread the culture of, afternoon tea and things like that. They spread it through their colonies. Coffee only came later on. The British, for them, it is, So that's why he says the Antichrist and the cup of tea. Now, the Bible says in Daniel that the people of the prince who is to come. Now, it's talking about the Antichrist and it's calling him a prince. Now, this guy says, why does it call him a king? Yet later on, it actually calls him a king, because he's saying whoever the Antichrist will first of all be a prince when he comes into power, but will become a king later. We know that Prince Charles is going to become a king when Queen Elizabeth dies, but that is not yet happening. And yet we know the Antichrist is going to be revealed soon. Now, the Bible says the people of the prince who is to come. Then later on, it calls the Antichrist the king, the Messiah king, in Daniel 11:21. So, now what is this talking about? So he says that this thing of prince and king actually can only be true for Prince Charles, because he's the one who is going to take over when he's prince, yet actually will later become king. Now, The reason I told you that the Bible does not say that the Antichrist is going to be somebody who is very popular and who is going to blow people away is because one of the most powerful people in the world, people don't realize, is actually Prince Charles. Now, when Barack Obama went to the UK to visit, he's not so much visiting the Prime Minister of the UK. He actually goes and talks to Prince Charles. The person who pulls all the strings is Prince Charles. He's the one who is in charge of a whole group of... I'll just read them to you at some stage in future. And you see how powerful this man is, because world leaders go there to meet him. And yet, actually, they make a show of them meeting the British Prime Minister. But the British Prime Minister, in reality, is a lame duck. It is the House of Windsor, which is the British Crown House, that decided against Mugabe. Why did they decide against him? Because, I told you before, because he's, they own almost 70% of the world's food. They control the food that is being traded in the world. They control the farms in Brazil, in Southern Africa, in America, and they sell food. So Mugabe went against that, and they turned against him. But this guy says, okay, number of things here. Speaking of the Antichrist, a man will come up somewhere lost in the clouds. A man through greed and power will come forward with a solution. He will deliver everyone from the wars and sorrow. The person will claim to be from the direct line of Israel, and I've told you Prince Charles and the British royal family believe that, a direct bloodline from the house of David and from Jesus Christ. But he will come in peaceably. Remember, the Bible says you will come in by peace, you will not come in by war. You will come in peaceably, using peace, and will obtain the kingdom by flattery, using sinister schemes. Now, that he also comes from the tribe of Dan, apparently, Prince Charles, which is the 13th Illuminati bloodline. The descendants believe that they have both the holy bloodline of Christ and the blood or the seed of Satan in their genetic code, also called the Grail Code, which qualifies them to be whatever. Now, in this belief system, which is held, in which they talk of the British Israel. Now, they talk of the British Israel. It is taught that the literal descendants of the lost 10 tribes of the House of Israel are found today in the British Commonwealth nations and in the United States of America and certain areas of Northwestern Europe, particularly Denmark, Sweden, Norway, and Holland. So now, when you read Genesis chapter 35 verse 11, it says Israel has become a nation and a company of nations. Now, these people believe that is in reference to the nation of USA and the Commonwealth of Nations. This is what they believe. Of course, they have their own interpretation of scripture. Now, and it also believes the people to be reigned over by David's throne were to be descendants of the tribe of Israel, who migrated through Palestine, through Europe, to the appointed place talked about in 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 10, which is identified as the British Isles, according to Isaiah 41 and verse 1. So now, the British believe that Arthur, the Antichrist, will have the order of Arthur, and they believe Arthur is not did not die, but is going to be resurrected through somebody who will be the king of Europe. Because Arthur, I don't know why, because both Prince Charles and his son Prince William all have the name Arthur as their middle name. Why? Because they believe King Arthur is not dead, but he shall come again. Actually, they write on his tombstone, the once and future king. He was once king, but he's going to be king again in future. Now, there are other things. There's only one man who has asked to be the king of Europe, and that is Prince Charles. There's a huge connection between the British royal family, I told you, and the Vatican, which has been propagated recently by the Queen's visit to the Vatican, and so many other things. Prince Charles is the highest level Freemason in the world. Freemasonry ends at 33rd degree, but it is alleged that that all 33rd degree Freemasons pledge allegiance to Prince Charles. That's what actually so many people, and some Freemasons who have come out and actually spoken about it, say when you get to a certain level of Freemasonry, you pledge allegiance to the devil and to Prince Charles. That's what they say. He's the highest degree Freemason. And of course, all the House of Windsor is full of Freemasonry. Then there is what they call the order. I'm now rushing through all of this because you probably read through them on your own at some stage. There's what they call the order of the Garter, which is the highest, honor that is given in Britain, and it has 24 people, and the Queen and Prince Charles, plus 24 people. Where do they get this? They get this from the Bible, where the Bible talks about Jehovah, God, and Jesus Christ, and the 24 elders who are in heaven, who bow down. Okay? Now here you have the British Order of the Garter. Garter is G-A-R-T-E-R. You go and check it out, Order of the Garter. And they bow and pledge allegiance to Prince Charles, who is like the Christ, and the Queen, who in this case is like, you know, who is a symbolism in terms of God. But perhaps the biggest evidence this man presents as Prince Charles being the Antichrist is in Prince Charles's coat of arms. Now, just go to Google today or wherever and Google Prince Charles coat of arms, and you will see, because there are so many, by actually most of them picked from this man's book, which shows the mouth of a lion. Now, okay, if you read Revelation 13, it says the beast which I saw had was like a leopard, his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion. Now there is an animal on Prince Charles's coat of arms which is exactly like that. It has the body of a leopard, it has the feet of a bear, and it has the mouth of a lion. Okay, and under in the coat of arms it says the dragon gives him power, and actually Revelation 13 says, and the dragon gave him power. And a few other things, you go and check out Prince Charles's coat of arms, you will see how much of the things there, when it says the dragon gave him power, actually those are the words, those are the blasphemous words that they're talking about, those are the words that are on the coat of arms of Prince Charles. And it's so amazing because when he was crowned as prince, really as heir to the throne, a few words were said there which were of interest. During the same ceremony, his mother, Queen Elizabeth II, said, this dragon, now this is the Queen Elizabeth talking at the coronation of Prince Charles. This is what she says: this dragon gives you your power, your throne, and your own authority. And in response to his mother, this is what Prince Charles said. He said, I am now your liege man and worthy of your earthly worship. Really? That is a man who is equating himself to Christ. Now, the Queen actually said in her own words that this dragon gives you power when Prince Charles was being thrown. And she said, went on to say words like, you have been selected to be the one, you are selected to be, you know, the person, the one. And people were saying it just means you're selected to be the heir. But he was not selected to be the heir. He's the firstborn, and that automatically makes him the heir. So he was not selected. But she made it look like there was some force which decided that he's going to be an heir to something bigger than the British throne. So, and look at that. And so I was telling you, the Order of the Garter is the parent organization of a Freemasonry. And it's housed in Britain. Okay? And when a man becomes a 33 degree Mason, he swears allegiance to that organization and thereby to Prince Charles. According to the morals and the dogma of the ancient and accepted rite of Freemasonry, which was a book which was written by Albert Pike, which I've spoken about here before, it says Lucifer is the god of Freemasonry. And somewhere in, you find just one example of why there are so many people in the Freemasonry who believe that it is natural for a Christian and a Mason to exist. Because intentionally, people who are at the lower degrees are misled into believing that Freemasonry has nothing to do with belief systems. But when you get to the 30th degree, the blue degrees are, it says that the blue degrees are but the outer court. Now that's where they deceive people. But when you get to the 30th degree, you have to pledge allegiance to Satan and to Prince Charles. Amazing, isn't it? Okay, one other thing. Prince Charles was crowned as anybody who is the king or queen of England is called the defender of the faith. Why do they call him the defender of the faith? Because he's the defender of the Protestant or the Anglican faith, really, of the Anglican faith. And because that is the faith officially of the United Kingdom. They moved out of the Catholic. I've spoken all that before when I was talking about the history of the church, when the British monarchy moved away from the Catholicism to Protestantism. And interestingly, it was because the Pope refused a king to marry another wife, whom he had fallen in love with. But that's a story for another day, or a story for a previous day. Now, but Prince Charles said he's not a defender of the faith, because he said that, well, all faith are equal. He says he's a defender of faith, or of the faiths with an S at the end, in plural. Now, there's even been a rumor that he converted to Islam. And apparently, this supposedly took place when he met the Mufti of Cyprus, a man called Sheikh Nazim Adil, in 1993. Now, of course, the why there's no actual evidence to prove that he has converted to Islam, there is also no evidence to prove that he hasn't. In fact, his lecture delivered in February 1994 at Oxford was extolling the virtues of Islam, and his frequent visits to Islamic holy sites, and his dedication of a southern London mosque, where he was invited as a guest of honor to come at the dedication of a mosque, and he was outfitted in traditional Sunnah attire, and his 1993 trip to see the Quran of Suyadina in Uzbekistan with Sheikh Hashim Kabani only seemed to lend credence to the claim that he's converted to Islam. But of course, he's not going to come out and say he's converted to Islam, and I don't think he actually has. But it's important for him, if he's going to be the Antichrist, to spread some kind of belief that he is for all religions. So on the one hand, he claims to come from the lineage of to be from the house of Israel and come from the lineage of David. On the other hand, he claims to have converted to Islam. On the other hand, he's been called to open synagogues before. So he's really trying to position himself in a way that all religions can accept him. And religion is very important in all of this, as I've told you. Okay, now, in 2002, the prince called for greater tolerance, and where he met religious leaders in Birmingham. When he was launching a campaign for greater tolerance and understanding between different faiths and religions, the campaign was codenamed Respect, and was part of the prince's contribution to the Golden Jubilee celebrations. So at the launch of the campaign at Birmingham's International Convention Center, the prince met religious leaders from different faiths and called for greater understanding through the campaign. The prince also said there had been too many examples of intolerance over the past few years. Good neighborliness is perhaps one of the things most in need of repair, he said. In the next 2 years, I hope the movement we are launching today will be able to at least help to repair, to do the repair work. That's what he said, and I was quoting there. So now, he's come out here and said how he's no longer the defender. And now, on the one hand, in 1994, he's meeting a rabbi, and then he's meeting an Anglican bishop, then his mother is meeting the Pope, there are quite a number of things here which are just interesting. And then also, they have sent out serious propaganda instruments through Israel for people to believe that actually Prince Charles comes from the lineage of David. Why they are doing that is incredible, but they have sent out rabbis and scholars who have gone to Israel and tried to convincing people that actually for a Messiah you can look to the UK, because those people are Jews just like we are, and especially the house of Israel. The house of Windsor at the top. But what people have to understand is this, that the reality is that somebody sent me a picture of what she called Angelina Jolie greeting the Queen and doing the Freemasonry handshake, and saying, why is Angelina Jolie doing the Freemasonry handshake with the Queen? And I'm saying, because they all belong to the same kingdom, okay? And it's there, somebody sent it to me, I think even put it on our Facebook page. And the reality is that the evil that is in the House of Windsor, and of course so many people get excited about the British royal family and what, but when you look at the evidence, go and search out that book, Antichrist, The Antichrist and a Cup of Tea. You don't have to read the whole book, there are good summaries of it. Go and look for, go and search out on YouTube, or rather on Google, and search out for the Prince Charles coat of arms, and you see how it is explained in there. These are things that I can only show rather than explain here. But do you realize that there are so many things out? What else? Prince Charles is the only man who has had a statue of him erected somewhere. And do you know what the statue is? It's erected in the city of La Paz in Brazil, in somewhere in the jungles of Brazil. They built a huge statue of Prince Charles, and it shows him portrayed like have you seen the pictures of Jesus on the crucifix, or are the statues the way Jesus is portrayed on the crucifix with a loin around his middle parts? Now that's how Prince Charles is portrayed there, naked except for a loin around his middle parts, the way it is portrayed in the crucifix of Christ. So he's actually, and with his hands out, in much the same way as Jesus was. Now within in the statue, he actually has wings like one angel, okay, and then he's standing on a globe, which is the world. He's standing on top of the world in a globe, and the world is full of people who are confused, who are drunk. And one of the people in the globe on which he's standing is holding a bottle of wine and looks like a real drunkard and a confused person. And do you know what is written at the bottom of the statue? They've written the word Savior of the World. Now remember, the Bible says the false prophet will be able to make the statue of the beast talk. Okay? But there's only one man for whom a statue has actually been built of that nature, and it is Prince Charles. And when he was called to unveil the statue in Brazil, he said, "I am humbled," and everything. I mean, anybody who has any form of faith would say, "Why are you calling me the Savior of the World?" But Prince Charles doesn't mind being called the Savior of the World, and that's what the statue calls him. And they even asked him that, "Should we carry this statue and take it and erect a bigger one in the capital, that is in Rio de Janeiro?" And do you know what the man said? He said, "Oh, I am humbled. I would be glad if you did that." Now, the city of Rio de Janeiro is known, that's the capital of Brazil, is known for having a big statue of Jesus Christ, which is called Christ the Redeemer. Christ the Redeemer. The statue, you saw it so many times when you're watching the World Cup, especially the World Cup final, when the pictures continue going to the statue of Christ the Redeemer. Now, what these people are saying, that they want to carry Prince Charles' statue and take it to the same city on another hill, so that on the one hill there is a statue of Christ the Redeemer, on the other hill there is a statue of Prince Charles, where he is called the Savior of the World. Do you know what that means? That is absolutely blasphemous. But when they asked Prince Charles about it, he said, "Wow, I am humbled by all of this." So he's the only man who was asked to be the king of Europe. He's the only man who can trace his bloodline back to the lineage of David. He claims to come from the house of Israel. He's at the head of the world, alliance of civilizations and so many other UN bodies, and he has a lot of authority which people don't know. And remember, the Bible does not say the Antichrist will be a charismatic person. He says he will come in a tricky way where you don't realize that he's taking power. Now people think, if you think what the average British thinks of Prince Charles, they think of him as some stupid man who let down his wife Diana and so many things. He's not a very popular man, but they don't understand how much power he wields behind the scenes. Now that's how, if people don't understand that the devil has never wanted to operate outwardly, he always, that's why the Bible calls him a serpent. A serpent cannot walk in the middle of a street. That's not how it operates. It goes under mattresses and hides in bushes. That's when it's at its most dangerous. If you can get a snake and put it in an open area, you've completely taken all its power. The devil, and the Bible does not call the devil a serpent for nothing, because it follows after the same characteristics of the snake. Now if you can get a snake from under your chair, and if there was a snake in your house and you could get it from under your chair and put it in the middle of the living room where there is one, you will kill it very easily. So the devil doesn't want to operate openly, okay? And so does his son, who is the Antichrist. They don't operate openly. They operate in a sinister way, pulling strings from the what? From the underground. Now people think somebody is going to come charismatic. That's why people are saying Obama is the Antichrist. He can't be. There is not going to be an Antichrist for America. Remember, there is not going to be any Antichrist for America. But you see, the American prophecy preachers are so obsessed with their country, that they think everything has to come from there, good or bad. But there's not going to be any. So they think he's going to come in the same way, speaking so well and what. No, he's not. That's not how the devil operates. The devil operates in a sinister way. And that's what the Bible says. He will come in through sinister schemes. And you will obtain the kingdom through flattery. When you think he doesn't have power, he actually has power. Actually, the devil is at his most powerful when you think he's not powerful. Which is what a snake is. When it is hidden and hand under the table, under mattresses, under grass, that's when it operates. That's when it's at its most dangerous. If you can pull it out and put it in the middle of a tarmac road, it is at its weakest. So just understand that's how the Antichrist operates. And that's how he is going to come out. It is not going to be as overt as people think. I've been listening to professors, teachers saying he's going to be charismatic. What rubbish. He is not going to be. So I'm going to end it at this. Of course, we'll continue with this study next week. But in the meantime, if you have anything to post, I just want us to continue. Somebody called and told me he thinks he knows whom the Antichrist is, and even invited me for a cup of coffee to discuss with me and prove to me who he thinks is the Antichrist. He mentioned the name who I'm not going to mention here. I haven't taken him up, Joseph. I'm still interested in hearing your reasons why you think that man is the Antichrist, and I'm still going to take you up on your offer for a cup of coffee. I hope you're hearing today, and I want to hear your reasons. But the idea is, I was happy he did this because I want the debate to increase so that we gain an awareness of the times in which we are living, and we know that we are living in the end times and the Lord is coming back very soon. If you have something to add to this, anything you want to add or say, or any story you read that is of interest, I know some of you are reading all these things, please send me an email. I will really appreciate it, as some people are. And if you want to become a partner to this, so that we send this message across the country, go ahead and send me an email as well, ugandanwatchman@gmail.com. That's the email address. If you want a recording of all these messages sent to you through email, you don't have to leave your desk. Also, send us an email asking for that, and we shall send them. In the meantime, have yourselves a good evening.
That was The Watchman, with fascinating insight into the end times. Join us again next week for another update on Bible prophecy.